That's an old one and a good old one. It'll never, ever go old. It'll always be what God's people sing. Well, folks, it's good to be here. Amen. Kind of reminds me of Paris Island in July. It can get warm, believe me. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 with me tonight. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 10. Hebrews 9:10. Scripture says, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Father, bless this word now. And give me unction, Father, tonight to teach it and preach it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all go and be seated. There's so many subjects that are covered for us in the book of Hebrews. I hope it's not getting old to you. It certainly doesn't bore me. The fact of the matter is, Hebrews covers so many things that aren't really covered in any other part of the New Testament. It stands alone in that sense. If you notice what the scripture says here, though, a greater and more perfect tabernacle. A tabernacle is a dwelling place. It's where God dwells. The scripture said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt is also translated tabernacled in other places. Same word. He came and had a tabernacle that he dwelt in. And that's important to understand. In Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 5, it says this, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things, now watch this, according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So the Almighty said, no, Moses, we're not going to leave it up to your imagination as to what you want to put out there. This tabernacle is going to be exactly the way I want it to be, because it is representative of the first, second, and third heaven. There are three of them. The first heaven, you're walking on the face of the earth. Second one is you see above you, the telescopes look at. The third one cannot be found nor entered by human agency. It's a door that must be opened into the very presence of God, the third heaven. But notice carefully how the Lord has said, I want you to make something here on this earth that is a picture or a shadow of what's in heaven. So we've got here a situation going on that the Almighty is essentially mirroring on earth what's already up there. And it's important to understand, when God says something like this, he has a reason for it, and he's trying to tell us something. In Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 25, the Bible said, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Agar, of course, is Hagar, the Egyptian. And you know the story of Hagar. You know what happened with Abraham. Couldn't have any children, so they went ahead and took care of they became proactive, you might say. And they wound up with Ishmael. And Ishmael was half Hamite, and he was half Shemite. And so what we have here is this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. So we fall into the category of what's called an analogy. An analogy is something that teaches using things that we understand, like Sinai, for example. But Sinai here simply becomes a type of something. And so the analogy is made by the apostle. Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. It's a mountain where there's no freedom. It produced bondage. Note carefully, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, the Jerusalem which is here on this earth, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now the Lord said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jerusalem, which is above, therefore, has a special meaning to God. This Jerusalem, it says in the book of Revelation, is the bride of Christ. So this has been in construction now for 2,000 years. And that in itself is a completely, totally different study. To give you the size of it is a perfect cube. It's 1,500 miles on each side of a perfect cube. That's an enormous amount of space, by the way. You could reside all of humanity that's ever lived, and they'd have plenty of room left in the New Jerusalem. But of course, we know eternity is going to be much, much bigger than New Jerusalem. So the Bible tells us here, in using, as I said, an analogous way of understanding the scripture, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, is the mother of us all. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, you read about this prostitute, this whore, and she's the mother of harlots, it's called. So you have two contrasting mothers. It's important. This is how you learn and study the Bible. And the book of Hebrews is a comparative book. It compares things. And that's important because it wants you to say, this is the way that is, and this is the way that is. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and verse number 1, the apostle said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord, a new man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. Now here is a thing that you either believe it or you don't. I believe it. I have no problem believing this. I believe God can take your soul and your spirit from your body, and he can transport you to wherever he wants to. And then he can bring you back into that body. And you hear today about a lot of out-of-body experiences, and be very careful. If you want to read about out-of-body experiences, in other words, near-death experiences, I would highly recommend Maurice Rawlings. He's a cardiologist in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's already gone on to be with the Lord. He was right here in this church about 40-something years ago and got up and told the people about the experience he had and the man that essentially dropped dead on a treadmill. And he revived him, and when he revived him, he was screaming, I'm in hell, I'm burning. And so the good doctor went home, dusted off his Bible, and got saved. And I mean, he became an evangelist when he did. And you see his work on YouTube. Just type in Maurice Rawlings. Why do I give his name? Because he gives you both sides. Some of these fellows out here that are writing about near-death experiences, it's all a positive experience. It's all heaven for everybody, regardless of what they are. Be careful. The God of this world showed all the kingdoms of the world to the Lord Jesus in a moment of time. If he's able to do that, he can certainly counterfeit heaven when someone's passing from this world. Be careful. Be careful. But don't discount all of them, but be careful when you're dealing with issues like that. So he says he's caught up to the third heaven. Now it says in Ephesians 2 verse 4, and I'd like for you to read this with me because it's very interesting. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. The word quickened means made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together. Now watch the wording carefully. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what's going on here? I thought I was on earth. So how can I be here and there? You can be here and there for the same reason God can be here and there. God is a spirit being, and so are you if you're born again. And don't limit the spirit because you don't know the essence of a spirit. So what does that mean, preacher? That means it literally in your spirit, you can sense heaven. And some folks say, well, now you're getting off in the deep end, preacher. You've been okay so far, but let's tune you out and go somewhere else. No, be careful. The Bible's a very interesting book. You remember the scripture that says, their angel doth behold the face of our Father which is in heaven? Most 99 out of 100 will say that's the guardian angel of a child. Well, you know, who's going to argue the point? But remember I told you the meaning of the word angel goes much further than a creature that's angelic or an angel. It can also represent that individual's spirit. See? What am I called here in the book of Revelation? You remember reading in Revelation chapter number 2? Who does he address all these seven churches of Asia Minor? Who are they addressed to? They're to the angel of that church, all right? The angel of that church is not an angel flapping wings like you see, you know, depicted. Who is it? It's the bishop, folks. It's the pastor. That's the one that's held accountable. So the Lord comes to him and deals with him face on with what's going on in that church.
No, I'd say, how do you
so
spell
he says,
your
he's
name?
Made us sit together in heavenly
and
places
this guy
in Christ
told me,
Jesus.
I asked him that.
That's
I
a
said,
wonderful
how
thought.
Do you spell your name? He
now,
said,
if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5,
I said, okay.
The Apostle Paul
I just quit playing
about
that game.
Departed.
I
he
see
said,
so
we know
many
that
people,
if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved.
It just humbles you to say,
what is
now,
that?
No, what's your
the
name?
Earthly house of this tabernacle?
And because the preacher does that, don't think ill of him or think, well,
it's just
he
a
don't
wore
know.
Out body.
Well, he knows your face.
If you're 78 years
I'll
old, yours is worn out too.
You go to bed at
if
night
you're 38,
after
you're
doing Sunday
fine
service,
shape.
You look in your mind back, so-and-so's
and
not here.
As you sail on, the years will roll by.
They don't feel that place.
But anyway, he said, the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God.
Getting that name registered.
House not made with hands.
Is another thought.
Eternal
well, it's good to be
heavens.
Back at Temple again.
See how God can bring into
and
being
I want to thank this church for
it.
Your support.
All he has to do
I want
is
to thank
speak
you for
into
your
existence.
Prayers.
Now look at this.
Since I was here
for
last
we
time,
grown,
I've been
earnestly
down
to
Amazon
to be
preaching a while.
Upon
I went over to Australia
house,
and preached there.
Heaven.
Oh, and by the way, in Australia,
so
started
clothed,
out in the Northern Territory
shall not
and preached down through the country and came to South Australia. And while
says,
I was in a church there, this fella came up to me. He's got tattoos down the side
of
his neck,
flesh.
Got big old holes
in
his ears.
Verse makes
and he asked me this question.
Between the physical
he said,
body
I know you preach in the States. Said,
so
do you,
you
know
could
a preacher
say,
named Charles Lawson?
Well, yeah, I've got it on right now.
I said, yeah, just so happened.
One day
to
I can take it off.
He said, well, he happened. Said, I was lost.
You
he
see,
said,
when
I
the Christian dies, it's only the body
he said, I come
dying.
Across this fella
so he just
preaching
takes it
on hell.
And
I thought this will be funny.
God.
He said,
now,
he preached.
Says, we
he said, I got a
desire to be clothed upon. He said, we
he
don't
said,
want to
I thought I was going to hell
said,
immediately.
He said, being clothed, we shall not be found
and
naked.
He said,
it
took about a week
only
of conviction
naked.
To settle in, but I got saved.
The demons over there?
And he said, it took me a while, but my wife got saved, and now my kids are saved. They're
they
in that
they
church there in
spirits.
South Australia under
that's
the
right.
ministry of Brother
so the Apostle
Robert
Paul is
Cotton.
Making an
Hallelujah.
Indirect reference to something
that's the
of that
second
nature.
One. Last time this I was here, somebody spirits. Up in Tana
well,
Sands, a lady from
something,
Panama,
something in the world
that
like
had heard
yeah.
that and got straightened out in her doctrine, got right. So what you're seeing
stay
here
the demons.
Is just a very little part
where could I,
of what
where
this church is doing.
What churches?
You've got tentacles and outreaches around the world.
The fact
and
is, one
such
of the worst
a
demons you can deal with is a
to
religious
be a
demon.
Part of this church so ministry
you,
and
like the devil did.
Have your support. And
now look at Hebrews.
After I went to
chapter
Australia,
one and verse 11.
I went to India
now here we
and
begin
preached
to
there
say,
a while,
you that to
and they're
you
under
to
real
scripture.
Persecution there.
In Hebrews chapter
really
one and verse
India,
number 11.
And then just got back from the Philippines. And so I am hoarse.
They shall perish.
I preached about three times a day, traveled all over. And my voice
and
is coarse this morning,
old,
so
the garment,
I may not really
and as a vesture
get with it, as some people would say. But God said something to Elijah. He said, there's the earthquake. I'm not in that.
Fail.
Here's the fire. No. He said, now I've got wind power. I can split the rocks and mountains.
Well, here's one of the
but Elijah, what about the steel, small
it's when all of the physical creation.
He wrapped his face in the mantle and boy, hearing
that
steel, small voice.
All of them, they, you know,
and that may be all I may preach with this morning, so we'll govern it as
the
Lord sees fit. But let me say this to this church.
You see, it exists
when I went to the Amazon, when I went over to India, when I went there to the Philippines.
Nothing exists outside of him.
I went there on
not
the dime
part of, his creation. That's
of God's
don't
church
get, don't mess up
in America.
It. But nothing exists
that.
Outside
you took care
of God.
It. And nothing I praise God for that.
And nothing, obviously, nothing
and it's a combination of God's church
the
and burdens to get the message
such
out.
A thing as
they don't take
matter.
A love offering up for you in India.
In
they don't take
matter,
one in the Philippines
kind of
or down on the Amazon. But I go there freely. And like Paul said, taking nothing of the Gentiles and able to go because folk just
you
like
okay?
you have been a part of our ministry
and
some of you have been
of matter,
for many, many, many years.
The reason you do
I do not take that for granted.
To believe in a creator.
Paul said it's not that I
that's
want
right.
to be enriched, he
course,
said, but I want
atheist.
You to be a part of
it
so,
it says so
fruit
take it off
may abound to your account.
Fold them up.
And when you give $20 or whatever, that's an hour of your life. You spend an hour working to get that.
So when he takes
and what you've invested is time in mint.
I
and you freed somebody else to go and do what God's called
creation.
Them to do. God's not called everybody to be a missionary, evangelist, or pastor, but God
creatures.
Has called us all to do something
just
to his glory.
And
whatever's in your hand, whatsoever
the,
you do, do it heartily
the
unto the Lord.
And
I appreciate this church, and I want to thank you
and
for your prayers. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 11
it's
this morning.
Revelation.
Hebrews
that transition
11.
From the knowing him as the creator to knowing him as that almighty, absolute, eternal being when he begins to...
Take note of verse number 31.
For us to see. That might
by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not
could stand for
when she had received the spies
of a second,
with
the
peace.
Full glory and majesty of God.
Lord, I thank you for your word this morning.
You couldn't do it.
Thank you, dear God,
that
you wrote it down in your book.
His glory.
You've told us to go preach your word.
Moses said, I want to see
and
your
we
glory.
Know that you accompany your word and you put it in people's ears and hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name that for that one that's here lost and undone without God, that the Holy Spirit might get a hold of them, bring them under conviction of their sins. And Lord, I pray you show them that they are deserving of hell because they've transgressed against you. But Lord, I pray you'll open their eyes to the fact that Jesus died, that sinners
glory
might be
began
saved.
To fade away, Moses
today, Lord, I pray you'll anoint us and wherever this message goes out.
Of God,
Lord, we know this church has an international ministry. And I've had people tell me in different countries, I listened to you preach today. I said, where at? Said, some church over there in Knoxville, Tennessee. God, I don't know where this message will go out or whose ears it will reach or whose heart it'll touch. But I pray for the quickening power of the Holy Ghost to accompany your word today. Lord, we know without you we're nothing, and the flesh profiteth nothing.
Words,
but in you, Lord, all things are possible. Glorify your Son. Lord, bless this Bible school coming up, all these young people. Lord, they get bombarded with so much garbage in this world. And I pray that you'll bless these teachers in this ministry. Put something deep in the heart of these young people coming in to the coming Bible school. Have your way now. We thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
About how we're covered. Clothing, how God covers himself, clothing. See what I mean? And that's how you, the scripture, that's how
when
you
I was
learn
first saved,
the word of God.
Began to read clothing. The Bible.
That's right. When you took that high
and
place,
I came across Hebrews chapter like number
Levites.
11.
He had special clothing.
And it immediately
and
became one of my favorite
the Holy
chapters.
Holies, my dear friend.
Hebrews 11 is a chapter dedicated
the
to the fact
that's it.
That it's always been by faith.
He was there in the presence of the Almighty.
It's written in Hebrews.
There's something about darkness.
Hebrews were those Jewish folk that had just been told God's going
to
lay aside the tabernacle, the temple,
24.
The sacrifices, the priesthood,
verse number 36.
The new moons,
and
the Sabbaths,
spake, Jesus
all of these things,
in the midst of them and
that's finished.
Them, peace
it's fulfilled in Jesus. Now,
terrified
you take
frightened.
The word
suppose he
and go into
spirit,
all the world
said to them,
and preach this
why
gospel
trouble?
Of Christ.
And why
you imagine now the Hebrew hearing
behold
that. They had a struggle with
feet.
It. When you look through the book of Acts, man, Paul,
handle me,
he had a struggle with
see.
It. The, Peter had a struggle with it, but God finally transitioned them and showed them. And they're saying, man, nobody's ever had to live by faith like that. To leave all this and just take a message from the Bible and go out and preach
in the book of Leviticus,
Jesus,
chapter number 14.
And God said, now, wait a minute. Let me rewind the tape.
And the priest
and he goes
back
and starts with
the
Abel.
Trespass offering.
By
the priest
faith,
shall
Abel.
Put it upon the tip of the right ear
said,
of him that is to be cleansed.
Then he said, by
the
faith,
the right
Noah.
Hand,
and then after
the
flood,
right
he
foot.
Said, by faith, Abraham.
Right.
By faith, Isaac. By
here?
Faith, Jacob. By faith,
he's
Joseph. By faith, Joshua, the children of Israel.
We need to know
and
what
he tells us about these great exploits of faith. And these are national and international movements of God through these men that trusted God by faith.
Did it just disappear?
And then right in the
gone?
Middle of that, he tells us in verse number 31,
Leviticus
by faith,
chapter
the
number
harlot,
17, verse 10,
Rahab.
And whatsoever man there be of the house
and the Lord's
of
Israel, saying, you may have a Moses, you may have an Abraham, you may have a Noah,
I will even set
but
my
you've also got
soul,
a Rahab,
and will
a woman of ill repute, a woman raised in an environment that was not conducive
12,
to faith in
only
Jehovah
sure
God,
eat not the
and
blood.
Yet by
the
faith
is the life.
Rahab perished
and thou
not.
Mayest not eat the life
and she got
flesh.
Saved by the grace
words,
of God.
You cannot
and I just
want
to preach for a few
religion.
Minutes this morning on the subject,
one.
The salvation and faith
you
of Rahab.
Right to do that.
Now,
certainly
her name and her history is recorded
right
in Joshua 2,
of course,
Joshua 6,
Google it, you'll find
Hebrews 11, James 2 mentions her. And then she gets another mention in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1.
Blood,
and so there are some five times that so she appears in the Word of God.
As he would like be
God, that tells me God didn't overlook Rahab. Though she had a sordid past.
Right?
When the grace
the
of God got a hold
blood.
Of her
Remember this now.
And changed her life,
God's son
the Lord says, I've
heaven.
Got something to say.
Right.
That my salvation is by grace
and didn't bring
through
blood
faith.
Down with him.
And no matter
the
where you came from, I
heaven.
Can do such a work in your heart that I can give you a future
Acts,
in my kingdom
says,
and a future
God,
with me.
With his own
I don't know who you
blood.
Are this morning
words,
or where
God
you come
blood.
From or what your past is.
So,
but
the
God
Lord
knows
Jesus
your downsittings,
here,
your uprisings. He knows
body,
the hairs on
right.
your head,
bone,
got them all numbered.
Where's the blood?
He knows the hairs
is
that
the
used to be
dead?
On
is
your
the
head, and he's still
blood?
Got those
is the blood,
numbered. Amen.
Has it been put somewhere?
He knows your thoughts before you ever
the
think of them. He knows all about you.
That
yet God in his mercy extends to you this morning
lived.
That maybe you're not saved
and that blood
a message of
veins.
The grace of God
words,
to say what I did for her many years ago
himself.
I can do for you.
And the Old Testament, when they
now,
would anoint the priest,
when I think about Rahab, I think about
this,
the fact that
him,
she had individual
it was a
faith.
Life of that animal
individual
that
faith.
Was cleansing,
the Lord deals with a woman who was born and raised
such and such.
In that Canaanite village.
It goes much deeper than that for us now.
She was a woman that
1:5,
had
says,
no family
washed us
that had faith
from our
in Jehovah
sins
God.
In his own blood. He did not
she
wash
was a woman that had no
from our sins in the life that he lived.
About
that's
Jehovah
modern
God.
Theology, which is garbage.
Matter of fact, she had friends
he
that were foes
from your sins
to Israel.
And what? So
and
the
what
blood
they were
must
doing.
Still exist.
She had no Bible like
and
you have in your lap
in
or you have available to you
Revelation.
There in written
and
paper or
this.
Even
we
your apps on your phone. Everybody in this building's got access to a good King James Bible to understand
that.
God. She
what
had no
doing?
Access to that
it was
whatsoever.
The life of Christ,
I think about the fact
right?
that she lived in a
giving
city
power
that
and
was
unction
not far
and authority
from
to what it
and was much like Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's why.
And when you study the Canaanites and their religion, they were a very vile, crude, wicked, ungodly, a very harsh people, a people that were opposite of God and opposite of the things of
God.
And she's raised there. Her occupation from the time she was small up to this point, she was a harlot. A harlot was not looked down on in that Canaanite society. It was just part of their culture. They just accepted that. That's just the way it was.
If he didn't have, if he didn't have mercy and grace for sinners, I'm in bad shape.
Had no way to be saved.
So
but God,
what we're beginning to do here now is lay a foundation for something.
Mercy.
And that something is this.
Brought her a message.
That whatever that blood had touched, whatever the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had come upon contact with, that had been touched by the very life of Christ himself. And it would be recognized as that from then on.
You've got a Bible.
Folks, is it
you've got friends, probably
don't
some friend is begging
some fellow get up in front of
you
and
you
say to
come.
You, well, there's no blood in
maybe
heaven.
Some
the blood
person,
simply represents the
life
that he lived.
Your friendship.
This is the way they do that.
They say, you
and
better
what
not talk to them about the Lord. They
will say,
well,
the
well I'd rather
blood.
Talk to them and get angry now than they die and go to hell and point their fingers and say, why didn't you tell me? See, you got somebody that Rahab didn't have. You got a Bible. You got access. You're living in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you had to pass several churches before you ever got to this church.
Therefore,
when you scan your radio dial
to
pick up your rock and roll or your country or
the
news channels, you have to run past several radio stations.
If
you just listen to them, there'll be a gospel message on there that'll guide you. Rahab had absolutely none of this. But yet the Bible records that she came to faith in our Lord. Don't let Rahab stand in the day of judgment and condemn you and say, hey, I didn't have any of that. You had all of that. Why did you not trust Christ? Why did you not get saved? What was your hindrance? And you'll have no excuse when you stand before God. And there's Rahab. She didn't have any of that, but she got saved.
Many
but
Christians
this morning,
will go to hell.
You're going to get some
this
of what Rahab
no,
got.
And he's one of the biggest
and that
names
is the
in
message
he
of the gospel
know what he's
of the grace
about
of God.
The man
Amen.
In the
his individual faith.
Christian
number two, it was instructive faith.
The Bible tells us, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I think, first of all, as you read back in Joshua,
she had a general report.
When these spies came, and they began to talk to her and say, here's what we're here for. She said, you know what?
It says in the book of Hebrews,
I've heard something about that.
Greater than the blood of Abel.
I've heard how Israel came across the Red Sea on dry ground. I heard about how they slew the kings that opposed them
out of the ground.
And we've heard about some outfit running around in the desert.
Calling
for
upon
40
God
years
to intervene.
With no grocery store,
the first
no farm,
he murdered for his own
no
home.
Wells,
he had his reasons for it.
And yet
but
they survived because they said their God,
he
fed them and clothed
said,
them and took care of them.
Like a wild animal.
And we generally heard that you've got a mighty God, but we don't know that God,
and so
Cain we've seen
himself
the evidence of that.
Becomes a father or a
but
picture
she said, I've got a general report. I don't know all that. All about God. I've got a general report.
His descendants.
And you know, God gives that general report
of
Himself. Abel
cried out from the ground.
He does it through creation.
Remember me.
Creation.
Look what He's done to me.
It declares
the
glory
of
God.
Speaketh greater things.
Elon Musk said some time ago.
Crying out for vengeance.
He said, you know, there's a big black hole up there in the north, and said, evidently, who made it does not want us
to
go there.
Folks, He came to save.
I thought Elon. I'm going there.
Amen.
And I'm going to go there faster than the speed of any of your spaceships. I'm going
to
travel on one of those glorious chariots faster than the speed of sound. And I'm headed to the sides of the north through that hole. And on the other side is
the
heavenly kingdom.
The book of Hebrews said
but even he knows that somebody made that. And you cannot look at
the
universe. You cannot look at all creation and understand that it's just something that exploded out of a big blowout.
I pray that prayer.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You look at Noah's flood, and the Bible said that in the last days they would be willingly.
I've got a groundhog that's taken up residence.
You go over here to Rock City. You go up there to the cave. You'll see fossilized fish in
your
cave. You go to West Texas, 500 miles away from the ocean. Climb those mountains and you'll see fossilized fish everywhere.
Anyway, I used to
there are three
groundhogs.
Great Grand Canyons in the world, and the geologists say they were all made at the same time.
Anyway,
we don't know what, we don't know how, we don't know why.
Everything is
well, they were nothing more than runoffs from
the
flood. And God has given
survival.
Such evidence.
Yes, it is. Same
such
afflictions are accomplished in your brethren.
But you cannot
in the world.
Deny that.
You know, we're subject to these things.
I was on a bus coming out of Moscow going to Kostroma
so the blood
late
cried
one
out,
night,
the blood of Christ
and this
of greater
Russian
things.
Translator
the
sat by me.
For vengeance.
And
the
I got to witness it to him,
Father,
and he said, oh,
so
I believe in the million billion year theory. I said, really?
The cross.
He said,
and
yeah, you know, it came out of the Big Bang. I said, Sergei. Do you know what a Jaguar sports car is?
In verse 18,
I said, you know, the low-profile tires.
For you are not come
with
the mount that might be touched.
The leather interior, the beautiful
fire.
He said, I know what they are. I said, do you know where they came from? He said,
where?
I said, 40 million years ago, there was an explosion in an automobile factory, and it blew out Jaguar sports cars of all models, all makes, and all kinds. He said, are you crazy?
An angel
I said,
is an
you
invisible
think I'm
being
crazy?
That he wants you to see.
When I look at your eyes
angels
that can
there,
read
there,
something close and see stars light years away, when I think about your ears that get little vibrations in it that translate to your brain, and then there's a communication between
shaking,
you and me.
Waking,
when I look at your hand that can grasp better than any kind of robot that man makes, when I think about your circulatory system, your nervous system, when I think about how you're fearful. And wonderfully, and you want to tell me that just came out of a big blowout?
You see, God.
He said, "Oh, you oversimplify things." I said, "No, you make it too complex." There is a creator. Rahab had a general knowledge of
God,
but general knowledge does not save you.
And as
then
much
guess
as a,
what happens
whatever
next.
Animal might touch that mountain, drop dead in its tracks. That's holiness.
Can we come in?
Unapproachable.
Why, sure.
Unassailable.
I welcome men
unknown,
all
a
the
a being
time.
That is so far
and
above
she welcomes
and
those men in. And
in
she
our
said,
wildest
what would your pleasure be today?
Children, we can no
they said,
way
our pleasure would be we need to hide.
stream in our
you
minds.
You need to hide what, His why? Being, said, well, we're spirit, here, we're Israelites, and we're being, checking Lord everything Jesus. Out. She said,
in his time, he
I've heard about you. I've heard about your God. Let me tell you what I know, and you tell me what you know. And the conversation begins to take place.
Dwelling in the light. And
boy, they reveal to her who is God, what God's plan, what God's purpose is, and all that. And the Bible says she received the spies with peace.
I want you to notice now. In Hebrews
chapter 12, you got a general knowledge, but if you got a particular knowledge,
and so terrible was the sight.
The Bible says
that Moses said, I
to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Exodus 20.
And today, I'm not a spy from Israel, but I am a preacher. And just like they knocked on her door, and she didn't reject it, say, you get out of here. I don't want to hear what you've got to say. You're our enemy. Hey, God's come. No, she said, I've heard. I've got a general. I want to know more. I want to know more. And if you want to know more, God will let you know more.
Darkness down, the scripture
and in this generation, there's a lot of confusion about who God is. What God wants, how the Lord can save you, they just don't know. But if you've got a hunger this morning to know, God will give you that information. For you see, the Lord Jesus came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary to do what you can't do for yourself. And then he rose from the dead, sent it on high, and he sends out his messengers to say, believe on me, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah.
God
she had a report come.
Out of that darkness.
She had a reception.
And what did he
and
say?
And then she had a response.
Thou shalt not.
The
thou
king heard not. About these men coming.
He quoted the Ten Commandments.
Soldiers came and said, darkness. Where are those fellas that came
and
here?
Moses
and she said, so here I'm Moses not going to be a Benedict Arnold.
They're all around.
I'm not going to give them up.
Here's a wall.
I'm not going to betray darkness. Them. I know darkness that you want them and you'd like to kill them, but I'm going to harbor them. And I know there's a lot of controversy about Rahab and her lying to those fellas. But it seemed like God said that's all right because she protected them. Had she said, they're right in there, would have killed him and all that. She did not betray the messengers nor the message that God gave her. And just as soon as you get that message in your heart, that wife's going to say, you're not going to listen to that, are you? I didn't marry a Christian. I married a drunk. Boy, you get saved, I'm going to live. And that's happened many times. Just as soon as you have the message come to you and you speak to your friend, surely to the Lord, you need to give that up.
In order for you to see the light,
the devil told me the night I got saved, what about your friends? What about your buddies? What are they going to think?
Outer darkness.
Rahab said in her mind what I said to the devil that night. Devil, go on back to hell. I ain't going with you. I'm going to go with
that
God.
That in itself would be
hallelujah.
Enough.
She said, I know this city's going to perish, but by God's grace, I am not going to perish with you.
Pure darkness.
We got a lot of folk, and I preach in villages, man. I preach the gospel in villages that had never really had a public proclamation of the gospel.
But then,
and I know good and well
being the leader
that if they get saved, they have to acknowledge my forefathers and those before me, idolaters. If they believe that, according to what you're saying, then they're in hell. And I don't know that I can get saved. I might need to just go to hell with them.
That's a leader.
But Jesus gave Luke 16. And he said, there's a man in hell right now. And he's screaming and crying, tell my five brothers, don't come to this awful place of torment. They're not welcome here. Send somebody. Send somebody. Don't want you there.
What did they do?
And you may have a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, an aunt, or uncle. And I've ran into people like that you know that they had no faith in Christ. And you know that they're in hell. But you know they're pleading for you and they're praying for you right now. Listen, wake up.
They turned
do
it into
not
a God.
Come where I'm at.
What do you think
I played the fool.
Moses?
You don't have to play the fool. Here's Rahab. Yeah. She's got to make a decision in her heart. Am I going
to
go with my culture? Am
You're
I going to go with the old way of life? Or am I going to have new faith
this thick
in a real God
was a place
and go with God?
Where God meets.
Some of you are at that crossroads this morning. She had a reception. But then she had a revelation.
Book of Hebrews.
God gave it to her
he
plain
to God
and clear.
Must believe that he
oh
is.
Oh my. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned, neither can he know them.
Now that's a promise to you.
But when God opens your eyes,
if you
he said,
serious.
God that commanded the light to shine out
they're
of darkness, shine the light of the glorious gospel in your heart.
But they don't
I've watched it all over the world. People, they hear.
God.
Oh, boy, they wake
like
up.
The Bible says,
oh,
he's
man.
A rewarder.
It's so. It's real. And it just it dawns on them, as you would say.
You mean,
as God brings that truth, and it dawned on her what God was going to do, and what a blessing it is to see sinners awaken in conviction to know that they need to be saved and they can be saved.
Moses walked into the darkness.
And then we see, my friend, her recognition of the fact that Israel's coming back, and the walls are going to fall down
for mercy.
But she resolved. Though this city be destroyed,
with one who is willing
though it
to
be burnt with fire,
now,
and though all those
that
will not believe are going to perish,
if I just give my life
by God's
Christ,
grace, I'm not
I
going
may
to
not
perish
know what
with.
Lies before me,
I'm
and it
going
may appear
to
all
go
dark,
with God.
But for me to just simply walk on.
And you cannot,
yes.
You cannot
walk on.
Take your eternal
continue
destiny
on. Don't turn
and
away.
Base
don't
it
run
on
off.
What somebody else
things
does
start going the wrong
or somebody
way.
Else doesn't do. And when you stand before God, you're not going to be able to say, but God, they influenced me. But God,
not always
it's
God
not
doing
going to
something
happen.
To you.
Individually, you're responsible to believe on the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins and get saved by the grace of God. And you're not going
to
have anybody standing there making excuse for you. It's
going to
be between you and God.
That you've really been in the presence of God.
Well, I see it's an individual faith, instructive faith, but it's an involved faith.
I'm not saying I'm super spiritual. I don't get off in the dark somewhere and
those spies got ready to go out.
Claims to have some special
they said to her,
I'm like all the rest of you. But I know this.
If you get your household
I
in
do
here,
know that
not only will you be
him,
saved, but
he'll draw
they're going to be saved. If they'll believe
he'll meet you,
what you believe,
and he'll commune with
if they'll
you.
Trust that word of God,
he said over there in 1 John
you can have your family
one, commune with
get
the
in here and be spared
communing
from
is
the judgment
life.
Of God.
And if you're not
they left out.
Him, what are you following?
Rahab said,
what
told
guides
mama,
you?
Mama.
How do you know
let
what
me
sin?
Tell you what happened.
How do you know what sins
Daddy,
are lying dormant
you
within your spirit
happened.
And your soul?
Brother, let me tell you what happened.
Without the word
friend,
of the Holy
let me
spirit.
Tell you what happened to me.
You can't trust your
and
mind.
One by
lean
one, they begin to listen and hearken.
The heart is deceitful.
Now, she was jeopardizing her relationship.
I, the Lord,
and she
the
was
heart,
jeopardizing her life by telling others.
Of his
I got a friend at Pastor's Pyramid Baptist Church in Egypt. And he said the persecution is so hard among the Muslims. He said, let me tell you a story.
I try to walk in fellowship.
He said, there's this family in church now.
Take care of
said it started out, this father got to missing his son at a certain time every day. He'd go to his bedroom, lock the door.
That's an issue going on.
And said he's Muslim. The whole family's Muslim.
Sometimes in other ways.
And said he got to listening at the door and he heard the radio on. He said he walked in on his son and his son cut the radio off real fast. He said, what are you doing?
They watched
he said, Dad,
in.
I didn't want to tell you, but I'm listening to a Christian radio broadcast. He said, I've got saved and I've trusted Christ. If you have to turn me in, that's all right. He said, son, I haven't told you either, but said, I've heard that too, and I've got saved. The sister came in there, and she said, what's going on? They told her.
Okay.
She said, I want you to know,
18.
I've trusted Christ too. Said, Mama, come in there. Mama said, honey, I haven't
18.
Even told you.
You're not
coming. I believe in Jesus
too.
And he said, that's how
that
bad that it is in that persecution where they'll betray you, family will betray you,
the
they'll cut
trumpet,
your head off.
Of
you
words.
Can't imagine
the
living in that situation.
Defeated,
she's there in that situation. But she said, I don't care what it costs me. I've got to tell my family. Judgments are coming. But mercy has been promised. And if they will trust God, they can be saved.
But look at verse 22.
When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus?
To the city of the living
you won't even mention him on Facebook because you're afraid you'll be unfriended.
We have no continuing.
You won't mention him on Twitter because you're afraid they'll de-Twitter you.
And make his God.
Amen. You won't mention him to the boss man because you're afraid you won't get that promotion.
He knew.
You won't mention it
again,
to your
you
friend down there
in
school because you might not be Miss Popular. You might miss out on that position at the football team if you say, hey, boys, we need to pray before we go out here.
He says, you're coming to Mount Zion, the city of the
Rahab,
living God, the heavenly Jerusalem.
She did it in spite of all the consequences
to the general assembly
and
church
all
of the
opposition.
Which are written in heaven.
Years ago,
and to God,
I determined
the judge of all, the spirits of just men.
I'm going to tell folk if they like
and to Jesus, the
or they don't like
the new covenant,
it. I'm going to tell them
to the blood of
because I don't want them to point their finger at me.
Than that of Abel. Boy, isn't that low?
Mercy Ray,
look at those
great man of God
right
in heaven now.
That's
he had a million-dollar contract laying on his
tonight.
On his desk.
I want to leave with you.
He went
what
to God
said.
In prayer one night.
So far.
He said he don't know if he went into a dream or what happened. But he said he dreamed that
the earthly Jerusalem.
People were in hell.
It compares.
And they were pointing their bony
Abel
fingers as fire was crackling
Christ.
And smoke was bellowing and flames were
Moses.
About them. And he said he could hear those
well,
people
he
say, if you'd preached, I wouldn't be here. Percy, if you'd preached, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Wouldn't
Peter,
be here. And he said he could see millions of fingers pointing at it.
There.
He said, I woke up
we
with
tonight.
Sweat on my brow. And he said, I reached up here and got that $1 million contract and ripped it up.
The light that we've been
said,
given
I'm
is not
go
something that you turn a flashlight
His mama
on.
Kicked him out
turn
of the house.
The
said,
like
don't
this.
You tell nobody you're my
the
child.
The light we have been given
get out
is illumination.
He went down the road
truth.
To a village, got in a little
it
abandoned house, hadn't preached so bad.
Us.
He started preaching
that's
the
light.
Word of God.
The truth
said,
is
folks
open.
Started
you
gathering
see it
in. Said, a little white-headed gentleman come in there and listen to it. After he finished, that fella came to him and said, where you going, son? He said, I don't know. Mama kicked me out of the house because I'm preaching now.
So the more that you want to walk with God,
went home with him, sat down,
the more you want to have fellowship with him.
And he said,
the closer you want to draw to him,
there's gas in that car, and here's the keys.
Is going to come into your life.
And tomorrow, early in the morning, I want you to get out here and visit this neighborhood.
And the more light
that comes into your life, I do not want you to come back till dark. And I mean it. Don't come back till dark.
He said,
okay. He went out and did what the man said. When he came back, the guy had hired a construction crew and built a room on the side of his house. And when Percy rolled up, he handed him the keys to that room and said, this is your house. There'll be food on the table. There'll be gas in the car. You just go on and you serve God. My soul, the souls that got saved under
cliches.
That ministry at Camp Zion
and
the preachers
to make
that
it
got called and how God used it. You've got to cross some lines with people and determine, regardless of the consequences, you're going to go to
God
and you're going to tell them about Jesus. Amen.
That's not temporal.
Well, she did.
I want to hear something that did not originate
time
here.
Passed by.
It's not human wisdom.
Now,
I want to hear the wisdom of God.
Here
and
comes the Israelites.
You hear Christ and God.
They're lining up, and they're walking around
here.
The wall.
My ministry will be
and the first day,
on the Lord Jesus
nothing
Christ.
Happens. They walked all the way around
the
wall again. The second
Emmaus.
Day, nothing happens.
I am right there.
The third day, nothing
did
happens.
Did not our hearts burn within us?
What are these idiots
when
doing?
He opened
who
to
do
us
they think
the scripture.
They are? I
and
thought they were
going
to come judge us. All they're doing is inspecting us. Why?
Search
they can't besiege us.
Or in there
our
you
foundation's
think you have
too
life.
Deep, our walls
are
too thick.
And
no way they can take our city
the
fourth
alive.
Day, the
look
fifth
for
day,
Christ
the sixth
in every
day.
Verse of the Bible.
Nothing
either
happens.
A direct reference to him,
Rahab
type about
has
him,
that scarlet cord
that
hanging out her
his
window.
Kingdom, or the work he did,
Mother
or something
says,
of that nature.
You sure it's going to
we'll
work? Well, I'm trusting the promise
the
of God. You've got to trust him too. So much, well, I think I'm going to get, no, God said, don't you go out. You stay right here in the household of faith, or you're going to perish too. All right.
Give me
seventh day on the seventh
word.
Lap,
the holy name.
They blew their Amen. Trumpets and they shouted, right. And God shook the walls, and the walls of Jericho come falling down. And the command of Israel was go in there and kill everybody and destroy everything. Don't take any of the cursed stuff to yourself. And it all fell down, except for one little old spot on that wall. And that's where Rahab's house was at. I was preaching in Jerusalem, and I told my daughter Rebecca, who was with me, I'm going to take you down to Jericho and let you see the city. We got out there on the road, and the Israeli soldiers stopped and said, you can't go there. Said, there's terrorists there. And I said, whoa, I don't want to go there. I said, how do I get out of here? He said, go take a left or right, left, whatever, you know. So I did what I thought he said. And first thing you know, we wound up in the middle of Jericho. And I'm looking at the ruins of that old city, and all the rocks are falling down. But there's one little old place that still stands today. Hallelujah. And that's where Rahab's house was at. And it did not fall. All those that did not believe, they perished. All of their goods perished. But the Bible says that Joshua said, you go get her and her family and take them out and their goods. And I thought, God, you said it was all cursed, even their goods. But you know what? It wasn't cursed anymore, because she was trusting in the scarlet thread of the precious blood and what God has cleansed. Call not common nor unclean. Hallelujah. And they took her out of the city and her family out of the city and put her in the camp of Israel. Boy, she's saying, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Look what God's done. Look how God has delivered his family. Look at the grace of God. We trusted God's promise and God has spared us and God has saved. Isn't that wonderful? But what she didn't know, there'd be more to the story. One day a young fella come knocking on her door and said, now, you never been married? No, but I'll be honest with you, I've had many men and you don't want anybody like me. Well, I don't know about that, because God's put it in my heart. And I'd like to ask you a question. Rahab, would you marry me? Marry me? You're kidding. Out of all the gals in Israel, all these beautiful, you want me to marry you? I sure do. Why? I just do. Well, I will. And they got married. How about that? Gave her a Jewish husband. And they begin to live there and begin to enjoy life. And the first thing you know, old Rahab was expecting. And the Bible records there in the Gospel of Matthew that she becomes part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a baby and named him Boaz. And then you know what? Boaz married a Moabitess by the name of Ruth. You reckon why? I think he saw his mama and said, you know what? God can make somebody out of a nobody. And I just believe God can make a somebody out of a Moabitess nobody, and she'll be a good wife to me too. Woo! Hallelujah. My son-in-law is my pastor, and I tell him this, and he knows it. It's general knowledge. But he was voted the most likely to be town drunk when he was in junior high school. He got thrown out of school. He got thrown out of the special school. And as he's walking across the playground to get in his truck and leave, the teacher told him, said, you'll never amount to nothing. And he headed down that life. He's sitting on Pinnacle Mountain one night, and he had a jar of moonshine in his hand, fixing to have the big party up there. And he said he looked in that moonshine and God spoke to him and said, there's more to life than this. He said, it scared me so bad I threw that moonshine down. I left that mountain, and my buddy said, what happened? He said, I don't know what happened. He said, something got a hold of me. He got saved by the grace of God about 2 months later. Then the Lord called him to preach. And then he spent 10 years helping in a children's home and preaching the word of God and all that. One day he was praying over on the mountain across from my house. He came to my door and he said, I want to ask you something. He said, it would be all right if I date your daughter, Rebecca. Rebecca's pure, she's virtuous, never drunk, never smoked, none of that stuff. And I said, well, I've seen you, Matthew, and I've seen the change. And I said, it'll be all right. Well, they courted a little while and he asked her to marry him. And then he asked me to do the wedding. We stood there at that church, 500 folk there. Matthew's on this side, Rebecca's on the other. I preached the message. And I said, Matthew, if I didn't believe in the grace of God and how God could change a man's life, you'd never marry my daughter. He cried like a baby, and so did I. I said, but I know the power of the gospel, and I know if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new, and God can change a man's life. They got married. got four beautiful grandsons that love God. All of them got saved. He's my pastor today at the church, and it's all because God visited him and God saved him by the grace of God. And I want to tell you, when I look at Rahab, I say, what an illustration of what grace can do and what God can do. And as believers, you have no right to give up on anybody that you're witnessing to and trying to get saved by the grace of God. You say, if God can save Rahab, he can save them. Yes, he can. You just keep trusting God. Well, as you read through that genealogy, lo and behold, it all ends up with guess who? Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. You know what Rahab was a part of? She was a part of bringing Jesus into the world, who is my Savior. She not only had a burden to get her family in, but God, in his providence, don't you know that Rahab just shaking her head and saying, I can't, boy, it's just hard for me to imagine. From a Canaanite where I was at to now being part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has cleansed, call not common or unclean. Hallelujah for what God can do for anybody. The Bible says by faith. And if you trust God and you call on him, you'll believe his promise. He can save you. And then as God's children, I encourage you, get your family in while you can. Thank God for the Lord recording Rahab for us, for our admonition this morning. I want you to stand all over the house, please. Our brother's going to get us a song this morning. I want to make two pleas. Number one, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, and whether you're here in this auditorium or you're even listening by way of internet or television or recording, there'll be a number for you to get a hold of. Call on the Lord. He's the number you need to ring. You need to call on him and be saved. Don't put it off. Let Rahab be an example to you of the grace of God. And then, child of God, I want to ask you something. As Rahab talked to you a little bit this morning about how you need to be telling somebody else about Jesus. Our fathers, we bow before you. I pray, God, you'd help us not to just hear, but help us to respond to what you've said to us today. Get glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. What number you got, brother?
Page 394 in the All-American Church Hymnal, I Surrender All.
All right, you know it. Just sing it out, and you need to come to the altar and pray. Just come on and obey God this morning. Sinner or saint, God spoke to your heart. You let the Lord have his way.